Hi guys, welcome back to the Suburban Black Girl Podcast. Cheers to episode 36.
Cheers.
Alrighty guys, well, today's topic, let's talk about girl code in 2025. And is girl code still a sacred thing?
Period.
So, given the fact that, you know, I would consider us girls, girls. So, let's just talk about it. You know what I mean? What does girl code mean? Has it changed over time? What does it mean to us? And, you know, where does girl code truly stand today?
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, the idea of being a girl's girl is talked about a lot. But I think people define it very differently.
I agree.
So, yeah.
I agree. First question is, how has the definition of loyalty changed for you over time?
That's interesting because I feel like I've never been the type of person to be blindly loyal. But I think my definition of loyalty over time has involved being more honest with friends, slowly but surely. Like, all right, maybe in front of other people, I'm not going to call my friend out. But in a safe space behind closed doors with the two of us, I'm going to be honest, like, nah, you were dead wrong, you know? And so I don't think it means, like, being blindly loyal. It means, you know, you're going to have that person's back, but you're still going to call them on their stuff when necessary. I think I would prefer to do it in, like, a safe space and not, you know, embarrass them or put them on blast, you know, in front of everyone. And I think that's how you can remain loyal. But I think loyalty also means you care about that person.
Yeah.
You know, and their well-being. And sometimes that means sharing hard truths, in my opinion. So.
Yeah. Everything you said is super accurate. My definition of loyalty has changed just based on, I guess, who I'm loyal to, in a sense. But also, I've learned to being good to people regardless of the outcome and regardless if it's the quote-unquote right thing to do or not. A lot of times I think we're taught to be loyal to people, but only to be loyal to people if they're quote-unquote loyal to you or good to you. I've learned to change my perspective on loyalty as in I'm just going to do the right thing regardless. And if I feel as though, you know, it's not reciprocated, then I will pull away just because I've talked about it before. I don't like to block my blessings or the good things that I have in my life. So it's me kind of growing up and just, you know.
It's more about integrity and character and doing the right thing than reciprocating energy, kind of.
Yeah. Right.
Like you're being loyal to that person, but you're not going to be disloyal to your own character. Like not to the point or not to the extent where it means abandoning your morals.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's definitely where I currently stand.
Agree.
Are there unspoken rules in female friendships that you still live by today?
Maybe like if you're all out and your friend thinks someone is cute, like you're not gonna, I mean, I'm never one to approach a man, but you know what I mean? Like if your friend is like interested, you know how girls can be messy like that?
Yeah.
Where it's just like you think that someone's cute and then they like go after the person just simply because you were interested in them, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
to me,
right.
It's just like, I feel like it's not spoken about, but it's like, it's just an unspoken, why would you do that? You're weird.
No, for sure.
Type thing. Like,
no, for sure. For sure. You know, I definitely pride myself on being honest with people and open with them. So for me, without getting too much, maybe in the drama or the mess, if maybe I see something or hear something about your man, I'll be honest and tell you like what I found out. I don't like how some girls may hide that information. It's like, I don't want my friends to be out here blindsided or, you know what I mean? They're not realizing that the person that they're dealing with isn't as loyal to them as they are to them. So for me, if I'm hearing stuff about your man in the streets, I'm going to let you know.
Yeah.
But without digging myself in that hole as far as the, now don't go and asking me, who told you all that? I don't want to get into all that because that's so messy, right?
Yeah.
But giving up information to where it's like, I gave you the information, do what you want with that information.
Yeah. Yeah. I think another thing that's unspoken I guess in my friend group or how we handle things, whatever, is like, if I buy you a drink, you know, then the other person tends to get the next round, whatever. Or like, if you're on a trip, I call the Uber. Okay. Someone else is calling the next Uber. Someone else is calling the next Uber. Like, that's kind of like an unspoken thing in, you know, the friend group and on vacations and stuff like that. But then I think in other friend groups, it's like one person calls the Uber, they all Cash App or Apple Pay, Venmo, whatever, and split it evenly, like every single time. So I think it depends on like your friends, but I think that's something unspoken for us is just like everybody just takes turns.
I agree with that. I think that's a topic within itself because there are certain groups where it's like, but this Uber was more, but this tab was more.
Yeah.
So that's a whole topic within itself.
Yeah.
Because I've been in certain groups where even there's certain friends that, you know, I go to their dinners and depending on the circle, I'm like, I already know when the tab comes out, it's about to, everyone's
drama.
Pulling out. Yeah. Pulling out the calculators. Well, I didn't have two shots, you did.
Yeah.
Or also the common courtesy. If you're in a group setting and maybe this is not your core group, why are you ordering breakfast, lunch, and dinner? You know what I mean? When you know it's a full group of people there. It's like being considerate of that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when girls do stuff like that. I was like, bro, why would you order all that shit?
It's like, why are you ordering the steak and lobster and then wanting to split the bill evenly?
Yeah, and maybe the main ones.
It's like you order the most expensive thing. Yes. On the menu.
And those are the main ones. I'm like, we can split it. It's like, damn.
Yeah. Like, I feel like when we all go out, it's like, okay, everybody had two drinks. Everybody had a meal. Everybody throws their cards down. It's fine. And if there's one-off times where it's like, oh, so-and-so didn't drink, then, you know, we'll be like, okay, like, you know, we got the tip or whatever how we tend to handle it. Like, we will acknowledge, okay, if somebody didn't, because drinking is usually the most expensive part.
Yeah.
So it's like, if for whatever reason somebody didn't drink, then whatever, we figure it out. Because I do get the argument on you ordered steak and I ordered chicken fingers, right? Like, I do get that. But I think in the larger group, it's like, if everybody got a general entree and general two drinks, then it's like nobody wants to be sitting there and freaking carrying the one and da 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 da, and it all ends up being around the same anyways.
Yeah.
So, and who has time for that, especially literally on a vacation? Like, it just kills the vibe.
No, literally.
In my opinion. So.
No, I agree. And let's be honest, as Black women, when we go to these nice restaurants or these destinations, them servers can't wait to pull that tab out and watch us struggle.
Oh, yes, I know.
So it's like, for me, I hate to be the stereotype. Yeah. Like, let's make it quick, simple, easy process. Because I'm like, oh, is everything okay? We're fine.
Or they'll be like, here's the bill. By the way, you can only split it with two cards.
Yeah.
It's like, offer it. It's like, okay.
No, for real. I just can't wait to get to the point where it's like, not even have to look at the tab, be like, put it all on my card.
Yeah. And sometimes that's what we do. It's like, because who wants to be? It's just like, put it on somebody's card, put it in the group chat. Everybody owes $40. Okay, moving on.
Right. Like, right.
Because it do be embarrassing sometimes.
Yes.
Try to figure out the split.
No, it is. What are some things that were once considered betrayal, but now feel more like a personal choice?
I think maybe like, not petty, but like certain stuff like, oh, you're planning a birthday trip and somebody can't come and it might be like your best friend. Right. Like, people fall out over stuff like that.
I do.
Whereas it might be a personal choice of like financial reasons they can't go or other priorities. And so I feel like as we get older and more into adulthood and people literally have priorities and responsibilities, it becomes less personal when people can't make it to things. But I feel like when you're younger and maybe a little bit more immature, you know, you're looking at somebody like a bad friend for not being able to make it to your whatever birthday or whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as you get older, you realize life be life and stuff happens. So, but I think something that I value in my friendships is like, if somebody can't make it, they maybe try to do something thoughtful otherwise.
Yes.
You know, like in the past, like if I haven't been able to make it to a friend's birthday, like I'll send a bottle for delivery to the Airbnb or whatever it is, still send flowers or whatever. So, but that's just me and my friendships. But I think, yeah, when you're younger, everything's a huge deal. But then as you get older, you don't like sweat certain things anymore.
That's a great point. Because I'm very big on I will fall out behind my birthday for show.
It's like you knew this date was coming 12 months ago.
You knew it. But this, I will be honest, this is the first year where life is lifing for some friends and I'm okay and accepting them not being able to make it on my 30th birthday trip. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of myself for growing in that area. For me, I'm like, whoever can make it can make it. Before I'm like, oh, I would throw a fit. Mm-hmm. I'm causing, well, not causing drama, but I'm telling everyone else the situation. I'm upset. But this year it's like, hey, it is what it is. So that's a great point.
Yeah. I think maybe personal stuff too. You know how we talk about like if you're starting a new business venture or starting a new project, you kind of keep it close to the chest. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're younger or even like let's say you start dating someone and you just keep it to yourself at first just because, you know, you want to protect it. I feel like when you're younger, well, even now, maybe people take it personal, like, why didn't you tell me? Da, 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 da. But I think as you get older, you can become, it becomes less upsetting, you know, if you find something out later and it's just, it was a personal choice for them to just hold on to that information or whatever it is. So I get that too.
No, for sure. I think of the thought of, we talk about, you know, betrayal used to be, hey, if I invite you on plans or I want to do this or that, and you just tell me no, but you don't give me an explanation, I used to be super upset at people. Mm-hmm. But now I understand sometimes maybe you can't afford to go or you just don't feel like going, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we used to beat our friends up for things like that. Well, so-and-so's not coming or she doesn't want to come. It's like, well, why? Now it's like, girl, I get it. Yeah. You know, last minute, let's be honest, last minute now, we may have plans to do dinner or grab drinks and everyone's in the group chat an hour before, like, honestly, I'm actually tired. I'm gonna sit this one out.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, I'm glad you said it because me too. You know, it's like, it used to be upsetting when people would fake on those going out plans.
Yeah.
Now it's like, child, I'm good on being inside too. Thank God y'all said y'all don't want to go anymore.
And I feel like that's now why we've transitioned to doing more in the house things because it's like, I don't really feel like getting dolled up or like, I mean, for me, this is like the introvert in me. I don't really feel like being around people I don't know.
Right. Like, it gets harder.
Is, you know, the thing for me. And that's a lot of times why I say no is just because, I don't know, being around people is exhausting sometimes. So, but yeah, that's what I think the great thing is about having real friends that know you is they don't, they like, oh, that's just Blake. She's fine. She just doesn't talk.
No, because to be honest, like, people really try to come for you.
They do.
And I'd be like, Blakey's so sweet. You just have to know her.
And that's why I be in the house, because that is what is exhausting. Like, it's just when you go out minding your business and people have an issue, it's like, I could have been at home eating my popcorn, honestly. No,
literally.
Watching a Netflix series that I've seen 8 times, because to me, that's more comfortable.
No, literally. Literally. No, it's so funny. And that just made me think of something as far as girl code, where even though, say, for instance, you have friends that are in different friend groups, and you know how it used to be, well, I don't like your friend so-and-so. She just acts funny. She's this way or that way. Before, I felt like when we were younger, you used to want to mediate and want all your friends to be friends. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't really care how you feel about that friend. That's not your friend anyway. Be cordial, but I'm not going to force anyone to talk to you or make you feel comfortable around them. Mm-hmm. Because that's a real thing.
Yeah. Or vice versa. Like, when you introduce two friends and then people get mad when they start hanging out without you.
True.
People don't like that too.
That's true.
Whereas I feel like I've had that happen so many times where I introduce people and then they become friends and I'm like, great, all my friends are friends. Love it. Like, I don't care. Because no, great, because all y'all are inviting me out and I don't really be wanting to go, so please go together. No sweat off my back. Thank God.
You're sick. Watch. Oh, so glad y'all having fun tonight.
Exactly.
While you're in the bed with you rubbing your feet together.
Sitting there like this. Oh, glad y'all are having a blast.
But see, not everyone thinks like that. There are people that are like, why did they tell me? Why didn't they invite me? It's I hate stuff like that. It's like, it's not malicious. What's harder to forgive? A friend who crosses a romantic boundary or one who violates emotional trust?
What's a romantic boundary? Like getting involved in your relationship?
Yeah, let's say that.
As long as they're like trying to protect you in the romantic boundary, I don't think that's worse than an emotional boundary. Because I feel like I've had that happen where a friend did not defend me in a situation that I deserve to be defended. Or they, you know, when you have a hater friend that goes out of their way to embarrass you in front of everybody, that to me is, yeah, we're done. Because I feel like if your friends and your close friends and your best friends, like, you're supposed to protect each other.
Yeah.
And so when I feel like you don't have my best interests at heart, that to me, that's violating an emotional boundary and I'm good. Because to what we were talking about earlier, as far as me going outside and people just have a fucking issue for no reason, my friends should be my safe space, you know? So if an emotional boundary is violated, then yeah, I'm good. Because you're just like everybody else at that point.
No, for sure. Because if you think about it, it's like, if this is how you're talking to me or treating me in public, God knows what you're saying behind my back when I'm not around, right? Exactly. And it's important to have friends that, you know, whether you're there or not, they are defending you. Which is kind of, I didn't say that earlier, but that's to my point of now, if I have certain friends that may not like each other based on an assumption, I'm going to defend that friend. You're not going to sit here and talk about my friend just because of assumptions you have. Like, clearly, if I'm your friend and that's my friend, I have somewhat clear, good judgment of character. So if that's my friend, you're not going to sit here and talk about them in my face. Like, I will defend that person.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and kiki and laugh with you. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, because it's always, oh, so-and-so said about you. And it's like, well, why do they feel comfortable saying that to you?
Right. Right.
Because nobody's going to talk shit about somebody to me if I wasn't talking shit to begin with. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right. No, that's very true.
Okay, this is funny.
Do you feel some Black women use sisterhood as a buzzword without practicing it?
Probably.
You know what I think of when I think of this question?
What?
Those empowerment brunches.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I think of. They're so big on like sisterhood and, you know, creating this open and safe environment, but not all of those environments are safe. If maybe you've been to those, you know, events and stuff and you realize it's just like, hey, they're just trying to make their money.
They're actually scammers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I think of because they're so big. Sisterhood, family.
Mm-hmm. You know what that reminds me of too? And this is no disrespect to anyone that makes this kind of content, but to me, it reminds me of the people that make glow up content and it involves just over consuming things. Like, you know, needing a fucking 15-step skincare routine to glow up. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like I feel like they kind of lean on people's insecurities or lean on the fact that people want to better themselves to just get them to just buy and buy and buy and buy. And it's like, you don't need a Lululemon set to glow up and start working out. You don't need 8,000 skincare products to better yourself and glow up. You know what I mean? So that kind of content is always cringy to me. It's not when it's like actual good advice, but a lot of times the advice involves over consuming. And it's like, you don't need all that to better yourself.
No, you're so right about that.
Because going on a walk in your oversized t-shirt and your dingy shorts is free.
Right.
Like, but people will convince you, oh, get a cute workout outfit. Mm-hmm. And that's going to make you feel good about yourself. And then go take this Pilates class that's $50. Like, you don't actually need that. Like, I feel like the message should just be moving your body every day.
Right.
And not needing 8,000 new workout sets or skincare routines or whatever it is.
I totally agree with that. Because that is true. When you look at this stuff, I'm like, child, this is adding up.
Yes.
No one has time for that. So, yeah, yes. Do with what you can. you know, within your own budget, right? Yeah.
And I just think that's the culture of this country in general. It's like, that's what you're supposed to do, right? Identify a problem, create a product, and sell it to people to solve that problem. Yes. But I feel like sometimes people really take advantage of people's struggles and like tug on their, you know, those emotions in order to get them to spend money that they shouldn't be spending.
Right.
And so I hate that kind of content. Or people that will be like, I went bankrupt 5 years ago and now I'm a multimillionaire. And then all you have to do is spend $500 on their
ebook.
On their ebook.
Yeah. And you buy it and sadly it's, you still are left like with questions.
Yep.
That's why I refuse to buy into any of that type of stuff.
Yep.
Because why would someone truly give you the secret sauce when they're obviously the reason, you know what I mean? They've created that success. So why would they give you the sauce when that's their sauce?
Exactly.
I just don't think anyone gives all the information.
Nope.
Is there a difference between protecting your peace and abandoning your friend?
Yeah. I think there's a boundary. I think you can only be as supportive, but if somebody wants to continue to suffer, then that's on them. And I think that's when you shift to the protecting your peace. You know, I feel like I'll always want to be a safe space for people to come and talk to and vent to. But sometimes it does get to a point where they don't even want to help themselves. And then I feel like that's sometimes where the boundary is set. And it's like, okay, I can't keep listening to you basically hurt yourself. Yeah. Or continuously put yourself in this position.
Yeah, the word, that's a strong word, abandonment, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all have things going on in life. We're all trying to grow, heal, things of that nature. And, you know, you may have certain friends that expect you to kind of do more. And little do they know, you have your own stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And so even though I may be, quote unquote, protecting my peace, it's just like I'm going through something. So there's only so much energy that I can give you. But, you know, you need to be able to kind of float above water just like I do.
Yeah.
But also you have to realize what friends in your life make you feel that way, right? Mm-hmm. You know, then you may have people in your life that make you feel as though you're, quote unquote, abandoning them or you don't have enough time for them. And you just voice your opinion. And, hey, if that's really something you really feel, then I may need to pull back from you because there's only so much I can give you. Like, we're not married. You're not my man. So I'm only going to give you what all I can give. Mm-hmm. But some friends are more dependent on you than others. And that's the sad truth.
Yeah. And I think that's what's hard is when other responsibilities or things in life come up. And those are priorities. And your friends feel abandoned or they feel like less of a priority. And it's not that they are less of a priority. But if you're constantly catering to them and abandoning your own needs...
Yeah, no.
Then that's where it becomes a problem too. So,
no, for sure.
Got to protect your peace in that sense.
What boundaries are non-negotiable for you and female friendships?
I think, I don't know how to say this politically correct. Like, I think to what we were just talking about, like, they need to have their own priorities and whatever. Like, a friend that's too reliant on you for me is, that becomes overwhelming in the sense of, like, I'm not your man type. Mm-hmm. That would be a boundary for me because, yeah, I can't be your everything, but you can't be anybody's everything, you know?
Right.
I think that's a boundary to have with people in general in any relationship. You can't be your boyfriend's everything. You can't be your best friend's everything. You can't be your sister's everything.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a boundary for me. And, you know, me with passive aggression. That's always going to be a boundary for me. Like, if you're upset at me, please just tell me directly and talk to me about it. Throwing jabs is absolutely not going to fly with me. So another one for me would be people that like to make hateful jokes and just, say I was just playing. No, you weren't.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That is a hard no for me in friendships.
I agree with that for sure. That's a hard one for sure. Like, a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. The friends that try to make fun of you and disguise it as playing or jokes, no, I'm not looking for that in a friend.
Yeah.
Huh. I have one.
Okay.
Because I feel like this idea of being a girl's girl, I feel like is very nuanced or whatever, depending on who you ask. And where is the line for you with being a girl's girl, right? Because some people will say, even if your friend or any woman is acting up, you should be on their side no matter what. And that's being a girl's girl. Like, where is the line for you with being a girl's girl?
That's a great question. Because, you know, I think being a girl's girl, it can get so toxic to where you're lying for your friend, right? Or you're covering up for them. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I think for me, you know, I draw the line on being a girl's girl where it conflicts with my own morals and values.
Right.
And so for me, that's where I'm like, So that's clearly where I draw the line, where I feel like my own morals and values are just kind of tested.
Right.
And where it's kind of like, I wouldn't even move like this. So that's definitely where it is for me. You know, I'm big on loyalty, but not to the extent where I'm going against what I truly believe.
Yeah. Like, what's right is right and wrong is wrong.
Right.
And if, you know, you're dealing with somebody else's boyfriend, to me, that's wrong. Like, I'm not defending you on that. No offense.
By under any means necessary, even if that boyfriend of yours or whatever, that man of yours is paying for me too. Like, no, that's just a lot.
No. And some people will. It's like, well, if he's tricking on your friend and he's married, then they don't care. And it's just like, nah, I'm cool off this. This is bad juju. This is bad energy that I don't want to be a part of.
No, for sure. Because, like, karma's real.
Exactly.
And that's my fear of it all.
And what goes around comes around. And I don't want to get caught in the crossfire.
No.
So.
No. Definitely not at all. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we talked about it a little bit before, but it's a touchy subject when you have friends that maybe deal with a married man or mess with a married man or dating someone else's boyfriend, right? It's like, I don't know. Those situations are tough.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, girl, maybe this is just a phase for you, so you don't want to judge. But at the same time, it's like, wrap this up expeditiously. Like,
please. So would you be the type, that just made me think of a question. So say, for instance, obviously your friend's caught up in a situation, maybe she's somewhere she shouldn't be, and she has a boyfriend, or maybe she's married, and her man's calling you to question her whereabouts, and she's not where she should be. How are you responding to that?
Thank God I don't have friends like this now. So this is very hypothetical. I don't even, to be honest, I just feel like me today, I probably wouldn't answer. I don't know.
I know. It's like, you don't want to be caught in that.
One thing I know for sure is after that phone call, I would be talking to my friend like, this is done, like, enough. Because I'm not going to be getting involved in, now I'm a part of your relationship problems. No, like, get your shit together. So that's definitely a conversation I would have to have. I mean, in the past,
that's a proactive approach.
Yeah. Like, in the past, I've definitely been staying at a friend's apartment and went out and their boyfriend was at home and I started feeling sick. So I wanted to go back, but then I couldn't because they wanted to stay out.
Oh, shit.
So then I, like, literally took a nap in my car. Until, they were done. So that was a long, long, long time ago. Mm. Me today would be like, we're going.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be the scenario is nobody's boyfriend would be calling my phone because I wouldn't. I wouldn't allow my friend to be like, if so-and-so asks, no. I'd be like, find another, what's it called, alibi, because it's not going to be me.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be in that position because I'm not saying yes to agreeing to that.
Very fair. No, I agree. I'd rather just not be in that situation at all. That's so touchy. And it's very messy. And no one has time to be involved in that when you're just probably trying to figure out your own relationship, right?
Right.
Do you think social media has watered down or distorted the meaning of sisterhood? What makes me think of on social media, there are more women, in my opinion, that are posting their friends, clearly embarrassing them for clout and attention sometimes. You know, like a lot of people are bringing their situations and their conflicts to social media. And that for me is a no-no. Like, I don't care how bad we fall out. Do not bring our situation to social media, whether it's in your close friends or not. That is so shady. And you can clearly tell sometimes who the issue's with. But it's so messy that some girls are still going to social media when you have issues with a friend.
That, and when you fall out with someone and they start revealing all of your deepest, darkest secrets, like, that just shows you their character. Because you can fall out with, like, anyone I fall out with, it's just like, we're not friends anymore.
Right.
And you're probably not going to know why. I think another thing, too, with social media is, on the flip side, is that people are just friends for aesthetics.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
It's like, two baddies. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, y'all went to Miami and you're not friends anymore. Why? Because you were never friends. Like, y'all were friends for the Instagram posts and the clout. Yes. Because you all feel like you look good, not because you genuinely had a connection.
No, correct. Correct.
I think that's something people can get caught up in here, too. Like, any, living in any party city, you know, or a city where nightlife is a huge thing, then it's like people become friends with other pretty girls because they want to get in sections. And then that's like how that kind of like culture starts, being friends for the aesthetics.
No, literally. And it's weird because sometimes they end up dating the same man.
Yeah.
And that's always super awkward when I'm like,
Yeah.
The amount of times I feel like people fall out over a man is just like, y'all, why? Right. There's other options out there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes maybe it's just like a competitive thing, right?
Yeah. For whatever. I mean, the man that probably like has clout himself, but whatever. To each their own.
How can you better support your friend emotionally, professionally, and personally?
I think that's, you've talked about this before, is like kind of adapting to the person. Not everybody's going to need or want to be supported in the same way. Mm-hmm. Some people want advice, some people don't. Right. You know, I literally always go back to this. Do you want to be hugged, hurt, or helped? So I think that's going to look different depending on the person.
Right.
Somebody might be like, I need a new job, and you can connect them with somebody and you're helping them in that way. Other people, you know, they just want to figure it out on their own. So some people just want to call you and vent and hang up, and they don't want advice.
Right.
Whereas some people are calling you like, what do I do? So I think it's, and I've done that even recently, is like, before I speak my mind, it's like, because sometimes I'm just sitting there listening. And then it's like, can you say something? And I'm like, do you want my honest opinion? You know, like, I ask first. And then it's like, yes. And then it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't want anyone to feel judged. So I don't like to give my unsolicited opinion unless it's asked for.
Boom. That's where I'm at too. You know, my first question is, well, how do you feel?
Right.
Because then from there, I know how far I can go with my feedback or what I think or feel. Because some people are making decisions and they're happy with that decision.
Yeah.
And they just want to chit chat like, yeah, girl, so did this. Like, okay, well, I mean, if that makes you happy, cool. You know, I would never. But, you know, I've had to learn that with my friends. Because I don't want people to feel as though they can't tell me something because I'm going to judge them. I try my best to be the listening ear friend, but, you know, provide feedback when it's needed, or trying to find the best way to tell them without, you know, maybe it hurting them or them thinking that I think I'm better than them or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no one wants to be kicked when they're down, right?
Yeah.
So I agree. I love when my friends have that clarity and they're like, I just can't believe I was dealing with that. I'm like, girl, I was waiting for you to get to this point, you know?
Yeah. And it's also, I think, knowing your friends, and what kind of tone they can tolerate. Because I know some people I can be more direct with, whereas some people you have to take more of a gentler tone. So, yeah.
When it's definitely not reciprocated, it's like,
exactly. Well,
you're yelling at me.
It's like, you got to walk on eggshells. Meanwhile, they'd be like, ra-ta-ta-ta, but it's fine.
Carry on. All right. What advice would you give your younger self about friendship and loyalty among Black women?
I would say pay attention to the signs and don't ignore them. So like we were talking about earlier, if somebody's constantly throwing jabs at you, don't ignore that. They don't like you.
Yeah.
And then I would also say do not be friends with people that are very male-centered.
Who?
Right. Because that in itself, their life is probably not together.
Yeah.
And their priorities will not be right as far as being a friend. And also, yeah, those are the moments where it's like they will straight up embarrass you in order to lift themselves up in front of men. And then also, it's just like every conversation doesn't need to involve a man. So then be friends with people who are working on themselves mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and having higher level conversations about careers and growth and 401ks and all that type of stuff. Not just about Johnny who has a section tonight and X, Y, and Z. So,
yeah. One of the biggest things I learned about female friendships is you will fall out with friends that you never thought you would live without. And you have to come to the realization that that's okay. Mm-hmm. You will fall out with friends that you considered your sisters, that have been around your family. Maybe you've been on vacations together. You've maybe given them the clothes off your back, right? And you have to come to the fact that not everyone is going to be with you throughout your life. And also realizing that the amount of years you've been friends with a person means nothing. So many of us hold on to friendships because it's like, I've known her 5, 10, 15 years. I realize, who cares how long I've known someone? I've had friends that are better friends to me in under 5 years versus friends I've known for 10 plus years. So stop taking the amount of time you've known someone or I grew up with them.
That's out valid. Of,
you know, the consideration of like, this is my friend or this is my best friend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sometimes you have to reevaluate your friends, right? Mm-hmm. How are they treating you in this season of your life? So those are the biggest two lessons that I've learned because it was hard for me to give up certain friendships just based on the amount of time I've known them.
Yeah, I fully agree with that because you can be friends with someone for years. And that's why that's where me saying don't ignore the signs stems from is because.
Correct.
You have a friend that was actually a secret hater for years and then you're holding on to that friendship because you feel like, oh, this has been my best friend for years. No, you had a hater.
Yes.
Right beside you for years. So, yeah, I agree with that.
I think that was good.
Yes. This podcast is for the girls' girls. So if you're not a girl's girl, be gone.
Right. If you thought we were going to be negative on here, nah, we're not trying to be like that. We're, you know, we like the girls.
The girlies. For the multifaceted girlies, as we say.
Hello. Always. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.